We're turning your Bibles to Ruth chapter 4. Ruth chapter 4, we're continuing, of course, our study of the book Ruth. And the Ruth is really a love story of redemption. That's what it really is. We're seeing this special Old Testament book where Boaz, as the kinsman redeemer, redeems both Naomi and Ruth, and it's all love. Now, he is a picture of Jesus Christ, our kinsman redeemer, and we think about this love story, we realize that what God does for us is love. Think about it. God so loved the world that he gave his son. Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. 1 John, and this is love, not that we love God, but he loved us and sent his son to be the satisfactory payment for our sins. We saw last time in chapter 3 that Ruth went to the threshing floor at night, and basically she asked Boaz to marry her to be the kinsman redeemer, because they knew that she and Naomi were without anything. They were poverty, widows, and he was the near kin. That's what they thought. He was the kinsman redeemer, and so this was a person under the Mosaic law, could be the one to redeem, and so she went to him and said, "Would you redeem us?" It was a special time. She lay at his feet, woke him up. He woke up, reached down there and said, "Who is this?" And she said, "It's Ruth. Will you cover me over?" And which was the picture of saying, would you protect us? Would you be our redeemer? What were those responsibilities? We talked about it last time, that it was the person could buy back land. If somebody had lost their land, they could buy back the land. They could buy somebody out of slavery. If somebody had become a slave, they could purchase them out of slavery. Or they could fulfill what's called the Levirate law of marriage, which was to marry. When someone was married and the husband died and there were no children, a very near of kin, usually a brother, would go and marry that person to bring up that to bring up a child in their name. Well, this morning, we're going to see Boaz fulfills his role. He does it. We call this chapter Ruth Resting and Boaz Working. As we go through the passage, I want you to think of several things. First of all, redemption. Redemption. Boaz is the kinsman redeemer. He does the redemption aspect, and we'll talk about that. But do we realize that Jesus Christ is our redeemer? He's our kinsman redeemer. He came and purchased us. It's a key thing. The second thing is the idea of resting, and we want to think about that, because Ruth rests while Boaz works. She didn't have anything to do with it. She basically asked him. He said, "I'll take care of it." For us, we don't do anything. Jesus Christ is our Redeemer. He came and died on the cross, paid for sin, and rose again. And he offers us a gift. It's not something we do. It's what he has done for us. So there's so much in this chapter. I think there's a lot there. Let's think about it as we start. You know, waiting is hard for most of us. Waiting is hard for me. I like everything really fast, right? I mean, I'm fast. I like to do this. But think about it. We wait in line. I mean, how do you like to wait in line? You like this, and you don't want, you know, or you wait to pay something. You know, you wait to finish school. You say, "I only got two more semesters. I only got three more semesters." We wait to find that special one. You're going to get married? I hope so someday, right? Then that's what you think. We wait for vacation. We go, we're going on vacation. We're going to the coast, man. You know, when are you going? Well, it's only about 3 weeks away. We can hardly wait. But then sometimes waiting's scary, because we wait for the report from the lab test. They had to send that off. They're going to tell you what it is. We wait for the results of the job interview. We go to a job and they say, "We'll call you." And you're waiting for them to call. And we put together a proposal and we take it and we say, "We want you to do this." And we wait for this business proposal and they say, "We'll let you know." Sometimes waiting's hard. Sometimes waiting's scary. As believers, we're supposed to wait. We're supposed to rest. Remember Isaiah 40? "He that waits upon the Lord." And that word "wait" there means to rest. It actually means to be ready. It means to be there waiting to see what God has. Resting upon the Lord and knowing him. Knowing that he's in control and he's working all things according to his plan and what he's going to work out for us. He's working. We're resting. This morning, Boaz is working and Ruth is resting. And we saw last time that Ruth went to the threshing floor, lay at his feet, woke him up. He said, he felt down and he said, "Oh, there's a woman down here." Remember, we saw last week, this is kind of weird, you know, that she goes out in the middle of the night. She watched where he lay down. She goes and lays down at his feet, and it looks like, we'd say, "Well, I don't think that doesn't look right." But that's the way they did it. That's the plan. Look at chapter 3, verse 9, just for a second. He woke up when he found this woman lying at his feet, and he said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I'm Ruth, your maid. So spread your covering over your maid, for you are a close relative." You're a redeemer. You're a kinsman redeemer. And look what he said. Verse 11, now my daughter, don't fear. I will do for you whatever you ask, for all my people in the city know you're a woman of excellence. Now, we've been going through this study for these weeks, and we see that Boaz and Ruth, it looks like, you know, they're in love. I mean, she's been going out every day to his field as a servant, so to speak, and he's watched her, and they built a relationship. And Naomi said, I think this would be a good deal. Why don't you go ask him since he's our redeemer? And the plan would be they would get married. And so she basically asked him, and he says, I will do whatever you say. We're all happy and jumping up and down and saying, this is a great love story, and it's going to turn out just like we think it's going to turn out. But then something happens, because he says in verse 12, now it's true that I'm a close relative, however, there is a relative closer. He said, I'll be glad to do the deal, but I really can't do the deal exactly because I'm not really the right one. There's somebody that's closer. If he will redeem you, fine. If not, I will. And we all go, that's not fine. That's not what we want. We don't want somebody else to redeem Ruth and Naomi. We want Boaz to, because Boaz is the great man. He's a mighty man of valor is what the scripture says. And so he says, look, here, take some food, go back to your mother-in-law, and I will take care of it. And she goes back to her mother-in-law, and she said, how did it go? And she said, well, it went really good, except he's not the closest relative. And you can see Naomi going, he's not? No, there's somebody closer. We'll have to wait. Naomi said to her daughter, just rest. He will not rest until he settles the matter. So as we start chapter 4, we're going to see this. And you know, there's two key things that's going to happen in this redemption. There's, first of all, he's got to purchase the land for Naomi, redeeming both Naomi and Ruth. And then he's got to marry Ruth. That's the plan. So this morning, what happens? Let me give you an outline of the entire chapter. We're going to see in verses 1 through 12, Boaz fulfills the law. He goes and does exactly what he's supposed to do. We're going to see later on, Ruth has a son. And then we're going to see this book was written to show the lineage of King David. And we'll talk about how that flows together. Now this morning, we're only going to look at the first 12 verses. So the next slide shows us that, first of all, he goes and makes an offer to the near kinsman. We see the custom, what's supposed to happen. And then we see the results. So there's some great things that's going to happen. Let's start at chapter 4. Look at verse 1. It says this. Now Boaz went up to the gate and sat down there. And behold, the close relative of whom Boaz spoke was passing by. So he said, turn aside, friend. Sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. Now let's think about what happens. Boaz goes to the gate of the city. When you think about that, what do you mean the gate of the city? Well, this is Bethlehem. It's not a very big place. Bethlehem doesn't necessarily have a wall around it, but what they call the gate of the city was one of the main entrance places where people would come into the city. At that place, they usually had little booths. They had little places in which they handle legal transactions. It'd be like going to the courthouse. You say, I got to go down to the courthouse and take care of something. You're going to go to the gate of the city, and you're going to take care of something legally. And that's what he's done. He's gone to the gate, and he sat down there. And that's his plan. And the gate was the legal transaction place. And so he's got to go find that man that is closer than he is. Now, what we talked about last week, and you got to remember this, Boaz, as you know, has been checking into this. If not, when Ruth said to him, I want you to redeem me, he wouldn't have known. Because he's already checked into the whole thing. I think he's been planning to redeem her. And when he checked it all out, he found out, he went, oh no, I'm not the closest. So when she says, will you redeem me? He said, I'd love to redeem you, but I'm not the closest. So he has come there to fulfill the law, to fulfill all the rules. We would like to say, no, this is a love story. You don't have to have all the rules in a love story. Just go right past them. Well, you can't do that. You can't do that. And we say, well, God so loved us, didn't he just overlook everything? No, he didn't overlook anything. God so loved the world, he gave his son, Jesus Christ, to do what? To die for us. Jesus had to die. God didn't just say, I love him so much, I'm just going to let him be with me. It didn't work that way. And so Boaz can't just go up and say, by the way, I'm not the closest redeemer, but I'm going to take care of all this. That's not the way it works. It says, Boaz went up to the gate, and he sat down there. He's waiting. And behold, the close relative of whom Boaz spoke was passing by. It just so happened this guy was passing by. I don't think it's just so happened. I think Boaz has checked it all out. He knew the guy would be coming into town. He knew what was going on. So he's waiting there, and he says, turn aside, friend. It literally says in the Hebrew, O such one, come here. O such one. They give no name. There's a reason for not giving his name. Because we're going to see that in the long run, if you didn't fulfill the right of a kinsman redeemer, it was embarrassing. And I think the writer to this book didn't put his name so they wouldn't be embarrassed. So watch. Boaz went up to the gate, sat down, and behold, the close relative of whom Boaz was passing by, and said, Turn aside, friend. Oh, such a one here. Come sit down. And he turned aside and sat down. This person is a picture of the law because it has to be fulfilled. Can't just go past it. So watch what happens. So he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, sit down here. So they sat down. What we find out is that for a transaction to be legal, you needed 10 elders. So he goes and he gets 10 of the leaders of the city and says, I've got a proposition over here. I got to get something worked out. You guys need to come make it legal. And so the 10 guys came and they sat down. So you got the 10 men here listening to the issue. You got Boaz and you got the friend. And the friend is the nearest kin. And so he's going to see if they can work this out. And by the way, the word elder in Hebrew literally means to have a beard. And so it was the idea of an older man, a man at least old enough to have a beard. And so these were mature men. These were the leaders of the city. So here's what he says. He took the 10 men of the elders of the city. He said, sit down here. So they sat down. Then he said to the closest relative, he said, Naomi, who has come back from the land of Moab, has to sell the piece of land which belonged to our brother Elimelech. Now, he begins the transaction, and he explains the situation. He says Naomi has to sell the land. What we mean by that is, remember, she's lost everything. And so in order to get the land back, it's like she's selling it. Somebody's got to buy it for her. That's what he's talking about. Look at Leviticus 25. If a fellow countryman of yours becomes so poor he has to sell part of his property, then his nearest kin is to come back and buy back what his relative has sold. So it's a picture of it's gone, and we got to get it back, and so he's going to go buy it for her. Naomi needs somebody to buy her land back for her. Now, you think about that. That costs some money. If you were a relative of somebody, if you were a close relative of somebody and they got into trouble, if they got into slavery, you might have to buy them back from slavery. You might have to buy their land back and give it back to them and take care of them. So he's speaking on behalf of Naomi. Now, by the way, usually the person needing the redemption came and talked to the near relative. But Boaz is taking care of everything here. He doesn't want Naomi to get out. He doesn't want her to come to the city. Ruth has already come to him. He's taking care of everything. It's really a picture of what Jesus did for us. He didn't say, now, if you'll do the following things, I will save you. He said, I'm going to die for you and pay for your sins and offer you a gift. I'm going to do it all. He says, the land has to be purchased. Now, remember, the responsibility of the near kinsman, remember what he could do? He could purchase land, he could redeem bondage, or he could marry the wife. Now, all that they're asking is two things, to purchase the land and to marry the woman. Now, he's not asking to marry Naomi. I mean, because Naomi can't have a child. Remember, the whole thing is the Levirate law was to raise up a child after. And apparently, Naomi's past the time, and so he's basically saying, I'm going to marry Ruth. Now, he hadn't told this guy. All he said is, Naomi has to sell the land. Somebody needs to buy the land for her. Notice again, Naomi has come back from the land of Moab and has to sell the piece of land which belonged to our brother, our relative, Elimelech. That was her husband. Purchase it. And then look what he says. So I thought to inform you, saying, buy it before those who are sitting here. In other words, buy it in the legal transaction so everybody can know this is done legally. Buy it before those who are sitting here and before the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. Purchase the price. Pay for it. But if not, let me know. Let me, that I may know. For there is no one but you to redeem it, and I'm after you. Now, our love story is going, oh, Boaz has got to get the woman, right? He's got to. That's the story. It's like one of those Hallmark shows, and you're saying, I wish they'd get to the end of the show until the guy gets the girl and that. You know, we all know it's got to happen. But what does the guy say? Oh, I will redeem it. What? That spoils the whole thing. But this guy's right. Remember, he's a picture of the law, and the law has to be satisfied. The law has to be satisfied. By the way, we'd say it spoils the love story. I think the next slide. Oh, I'm sorry. Go back. Did we have a slide before that one? Okay, I think we're missing a slide, but it doesn't matter. it would have been a dishonor for him to say no. If Boaz said, "You're the man, you can redeem it. If you won't redeem it, I'll redeem it," it would have been an embarrassment for him to say no. We should have expected for him to say yes. That's what they did. So when we read this verse and he says, "I will redeem it," we go, "Yeah, I thought he would. That's what we thought was going to happen." But that's not all. Verse 5 says, then Boaz says, "Oh, wait, by the way, on the day that you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you must also acquire Ruth, the Moabitess, the widow of the deceased, in order to raise up the name of the deceased on his inheritance." One more thing. You must acquire Ruth as well. See, it's not just you go buy the land and purchase it, because it's going to cost you some money to get that land back, because Elimelech had land and everything. You got to do that. But when you do that, not only are you redeeming the land, but you're going to go ahead and do the levirate law of marriage, which is to marry the girl. You must marry. Because in order to name up, in order to raise up the name of the deceased, that's the redemption, the land and the marriage. What's his answer going to be now? Look what he says. The closest relative said, "I cannot redeem it for myself, because I would jeopardize my own inheritance. Redeem it for yourself. You may have my right of redemption, for I cannot redeem it." I want you to notice something. He doesn't say, "I will not redeem it." He says, "I cannot redeem it." He doesn't want to marry Ruth and lose part of his inheritance. Because see, when he marries Ruth and they have a child, the land that now belongs to this man now goes back to Ruth and to Naomi and to Mahlon's family, and it all goes back to them. And he says, "Well, I don't want to do that, because I don't want to lose, because I'm fixing to buy this land. I want this land." He didn't want to jeopardize it. See, this person represents the law, and here's the great truth. The law can never redeem. See, the law shows us where we sin, but it can never stop us from sinning. The law has no power. Listen, when you look at the law says, "Don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this." What do? You break the law. The law doesn't give you the power to obey the law. The law shows you what's right and wrong. The law can never redeem us. The law can never save us. Romans 3, 19 and 20. What we know, that whatever the law says, it says to every mouth, so that no flesh could ever be justified by the law, for the law shows us we're sinners. That's what the law says. Romans 3, 19 and 20 says the law shows us we're sinners. The law tells you there are things right and wrong, and guess what we do? The things that are wrong, we do them. The things that are right, we don't do them. We're sinners, and we fall short. The law doesn't redeem us. The law shows us we're sinners. Paul says, "I would have never known coveting, except the law says, thou shalt not covet, and when that law was there, I died." He said, "I sinned. I sinned and died." Galatians 3:24, the law leads us to Christ. It points us to Christ. Listen, there's so many people who think the law redeems them. They say, "If I do more good than bad, if I try to live a good life, if I try to obey the Ten Commandments, if I try to do this, if I try to do that." The truth is this: nobody can keep the law. Think about the Ten Commandments. You've broken every one of them. You haven't said, "Well, I did pretty good. I got 8 out of 10. You haven't done any of them. You've broken every one of them. We all have. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. The law can't redeem. This man is a picture of the law, and he says, "I cannot redeem it." So what does Boaz do? He says, the law basically says, you have to do it. And see, what does the law say? The wages of sin is, what did Jesus do? He died. He took care of it all. So he explains, the writer explains us the custom. He says, now, this was the custom in former times in Israel concerning the redemption and exchange of a land to confirm a matter. A man would remove his sandal and give it to another, and this was the manner of attestation in Israel. So what they would do is, if you were going to let somebody else have the land, you would take off your sandal and you would give it to the guy who's going to get the land. You would remove the shoe. Why? Because the sandal was the picture of where you stood. And where you stood on your property. And so he says, "Okay, I'm not going to stand on that property here. Take my sandal." What you hope is that he'll give the sandal back after the deal's over, because you don't want to go out of there with just one sandal after that. So you're saying, "Here, I'm giving you the sandal that is legally showing everyone that I give up the right to the property and I give it to Boaz." So the closest relative said to Boaz, "Buy it for yourself," and he what? removed his sandal. The closest relative has given it, and Boaz is taking care of the redemption. And it's really a picture of Jesus Christ, because Christ carries out the redemption for us. Jesus said, I come to save them. I've come to redeem them. I've come to purchase them. I've come to die on the cross and pay for sin. I've come to do the will of the Father. The Father sent Jesus to redeem us. We look to the law. Can you redeem us? The law says, I'm sorry, I can't redeem you. I can't help you. So Jesus came and fulfilled the law. So look what he says. Boaz said to the elders, now here's the deal. Think about this. You're the 10 men sitting there. You're watching the legal things. Boaz says, listen, Naomi has to sell the land. Somebody's got to buy it. Somebody's got to purchase her, take care of all this stuff. And you're the one to do it. If you don't do it, I'll do it. He says, oh, I'll do it. He said, oh, by the way, when you do it, you got to marry Ruth, the Moabitess, and you got to bring up a child and have that inheritance. And he goes, oh, well, I'm not going to do that. I can't do that. I can't do that. You do it. Here. Here's my shoe. You take the land. Verse 9, Boaz said to the elders and all the people, you are witnesses today that I have bought from the hand of Naomi all that belonged to Elimelech and all that belonged to Chilion and Mahlon. Moreover, watch, I have acquired Ruth, the Moabitess, the widow of Mahlon, to be my wife. Why? In order to raise up the name of the deceased on his inheritance, so that the name of the deceased will not be cut off from his brothers or from the court of his birth. You are witnesses today. What two things did he do? He bought the land, and he's going to marry Ruth to raise up the name. Now, something you may have never thought about. Why is it so important about this land? Well, let's talk about it for a second. Why would he buy the land? I want you to understand something. You remember the nation of Israel, they left Egypt, and they came out and they wandered around, and then under Joshua, they came into the land. Everybody was all happy. He stopped the water, they came in, they conquered Jericho, and then under Joshua, they conquered the entire land of Israel. And then God told them to divide the land among the 12 tribes. And so they did it. So this group got this part of land, this group got this part of land. So all 12 tribes got parts of the land. Then in that land, all of the families of those tribes got certain lands. And then every family had their own land. Do you understand that? Every family in Israel had their own land. And it was their land forever. Watch this. The land, moreover, shall not be sold permanently. For the land is mine. God says, the land's mine. I'm letting you have it. But you are but aliens and soldiers with me. God gave the land to Israel, and he gave every family a piece of land. So did Elimelech and Naomi have a piece of land that was theirs for how long? Forever. What did she do when she left, when he died? They lost it. And the kinsman redeemer, what's his job to do? To buy it back and give it to them. What if there was no kinsman to buy it back? Well, they had a plan. Every 50 years was called the year of Jubilee. And at the 50-year mark, anybody who had bought somebody else's land, it automatically went back to the original owners. So in the year of Jubilee, Naomi and her family would have got their land back. But we don't know how many years it could. It could have been 30 or 40 years. Naomi would have been dead by then. So understand that the year of Jubilee, the land goes back to the original families. There's a, what is that? I hope it's not a wasp. Go to your land and leave me alone, okay? So what is so great that God has provided for his people? That their land will always be their land. And the family of Elimelech would always have a certain area of land. Even if they lost it, even if nobody could ever buy it back, at the 50-year mark, it went back to the family. But they didn't want to wait to the 50-year mark. Naomi's poor. They don't have any way to make a living. Ruth doesn't have anything. Boaz didn't say to them, don't worry about it. 25 years from now, you'll get the land back. They'll be dead. So he buys it back. So land was vital. But the second thing was to marry Ruth. And why? It was the whole background with Deuteronomy. We talked about it. I don't know if I put the verse. Do I have the verse there? Did we put it? We didn't put it this time, did we? In Deuteronomy, remember he said when the brothers live together and one of them dies and they have no children, it's the responsibility of the other brother to marry her and to raise up a child after him. That's called the Levirate law of marriage, and we've been seeing that in this book. So Boaz declares this, that he will redeem Ruth and Naomi and purchase the land, and then he would marry Ruth. Now, I want you to see something. This is a picture of Jesus Christ. What did Boaz do? He did four things. He came to redeem. He fulfilled the law. He purchased Naomi and Ruth. That's a Jew and a Gentile. And Ruth became his bride. What did Jesus Christ do for us? Look, he came to redeem. Mark chapter 10, verse 45. The Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as the ransom, the payment for sin. He fulfilled the law. He's the only one who kept it perfectly. He's the only one who paid the penalty. Third, he purchased all people, what? Both Jews and Gentiles. And fourth, we are the bride, the church. We are the bride of Christ. Do you realize that Boaz is a picture of Jesus? And when we see this book and we see what Boaz was willing to do, to love them, to purchase them, to marry, to put it all together, that's a picture of what Jesus has done for us. Think about this. Ruth was a poor, lost widow who became the rich bride of Boaz with peace and security, and we were lost and helpless, and we become rich heirs of salvation and protection and security through Jesus Christ. Look what happened. Look at the response. All the people who were in the court and the elders said, "We're witnesses. We've seen this has happened. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, both of whom built the house of Israel, and may you achieve wealth in Ephratah and become famous in Bethlehem." And so they say, "Bless you. May you be blessed. May this woman," what woman are we talking about? We're talking about Ruth. Ruth is a Moabite woman, but they're all saying, "May this Moabite woman be like Rachel and Leah." Who is Rachel and Leah? That's the wives of Jacob. That's where the nation of Israel came from. And they're actually saying, "May she be really a great woman just like these women. May they be a blessing." You know, sometimes we don't think about it, but children are a great blessing. And there's some people, I've heard people say, "Oh, I'll be glad when my kids are gone." I've never said that. I wish they'd always be around. I love them so much. The greatest blessing of my life for Gene and I are our kids. And the greatest blessing. Verse 12. Then they said, "Moreover, may your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, through the offspring with which the Lord will give you by this young woman." Now, we're going to talk more next week about this, because we're going to talk about who is this Perez and Judah and Tamar, and who are all these people, and why do they bring their name up? But the tribe of Judah was the tribe of the kings. And look at this. Little do they know, from this union, Boaz and Ruth, would come one of the greatest kings in Israel's history. Who is it? King David, and the eternal King Jesus Christ, through this little girl from Moab and this man from Bethlehem. They come together, and ultimately we get Jesus Christ, our Savior. Wow. Redemption. What a picture. What a picture. What are we saying? Boaz goes to the gate of the city. He tells the near of kin the plan. The guy refuses, so Boaz fulfills the role. All the people praise him and say, "We're so glad who you are, and may this woman, maybe y'all have all kind of kids." That's what they're really saying. You know, we live in a culture today, it's so weird, because I talk to people and I say, "You want any kids?" And they go, maybe one, maybe two. And I'm going, "What about four or five?" You know? Because they're the greatest blessing. And our culture is going, maybe one or maybe two, when we ought to be saying maybe four, maybe five, maybe six. So let's get some applications. Trust in Jesus Christ, who came to redeem us. Just as Boaz came to redeem Naomi and Ruth, Jesus Christ came to the earth to redeem us. He died on the cross and paid for our sins. He's the satisfactory payment, not for our sins only, but what? For the sins of the entire world. Exactly right. Boaz purchased Ruth and Naomi, and Jesus Christ purchased us. Matthew 1:21, he came to save his people. He's a light to the Gentiles and the Savior of the Jews. So trust Jesus Christ. If you have never understood the whole issue of salvation, Jesus Christ came and died on the cross to purchase you, to pay for your sins. He was buried and rose again, and he is the Savior of the world, and he offers to anyone who will believe in him, who will trust in him, he gives them eternal life. He is the Redeemer. He is the Savior. He doesn't become your Savior. He is the Savior of the world, and whoever believes in him has eternal life. If you've never trusted Christ, where you're sitting right now, you can put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's not your works or goodness or anything else. It's believing in Christ for eternal life. Second application, realize that we cannot be redeemed by the law. You can't be good enough. You can't try to keep the law. You can't say, I'm going to do all the right things and not do the wrong things. The truth is, you're going to do the wrong things and not do the right things. The law causes us to sin. And we cannot be redeemed by the law. The law tells us where we're wrong, but the law does not empower us. We must come to God by faith. What the law says, you sin, you die. Jesus said, that's right, but I'm going to pay for it, and I'm going to give you life when you believe. The third thing, and I've mentioned it already, realize that children are a blessing. They're not a bother. They're a blessing. All throughout the Scripture, children are a blessing. So what do? Let's pray for them. Let's train them. Let's love them. May we realize that Jesus Christ and not ourselves is the Redeemer. You're not the Savior. Jesus is the Savior and the Redeemer. May we proclaim the truth of God's redemption to this community and to this world. Let's pray.